Thank you for downloading and listening to this episode. We have a great one for you, but before we get into this episode, we want to ask if you can please take a moment and subscribe to our podcast.
Yes, and while you're at it, how about a 5-star rating and review too? These actions will help us to broaden our TFNL audience as we share each of these amazing stories with all of you.
And also, please spread the word and share this podcast with your family and friends.
Do you know of a coach or a coaching couple that would be great for our podcast? Or would you like to get in touch with us?
Please send us an email at thefridaynightlife@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter at @TheFNLPodcast and on Instagram and Facebook at The Friday Night Life. Welcome to the Friday Night Life podcast. I'm Chris.
And I'm Corrine Stevens, and we're a seasoned veteran coaching couple. Join us as we look into the lives of other coaches, their wives, and their families. We'll share about the wins, the losses, and the journey along the way.
Here at TFNL, we hope to inspire and encourage each of you in faith, family, and football. All right, welcome back to the Friday Night Life podcast. We are privileged and honored to be with the Sloan family tonight. We have Brett and Brittany Sloan on the East Coast. I love talking to folks on the East Coast. You guys are currently in South Carolina, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
All right, so we got Brett, who is currently the head coach at Woodruff High School in South Carolina, and Brittany, who we're going to get into a past president of the AFCWA and your journey to that and how that was going. But guys, welcome. We're so glad to have you.
Excited to be here.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
I was just saying, we're kind of amongst royalty because we have a former Miss South Carolina, Team USA. Yes?
Yes.
That's outstanding.
That is awesome. Love it. That how you guys met, Fred?
No.
It's great. No, it's wonderful. That was kind of a tidbit if we were getting to know you, something that a lot of people probably didn't know, but now they know, which is good.
Yeah, it's funny because that whole world knew, and then the whole coaching world, like when they find out, they're like, "What? Why did you not tell me that?" Yeah. Something I just bring up.
I know, like you're going to meet someone and say, by the way, former Miss Teen USA, just.
Yeah, you don't need to pass into the games. Just show them your card. That's it.
You bring your tiara every time. You're welcome, everybody.
You wore a tiara at a 1-7-on-7 event at one time.
It was my birthday.
Yeah.
It was 7-on-7 on my birthday.
That's awesome.
I wore my birthday
crown. Love it. Well, how did you all meet? How did the Sloans get together? Take us through your together story here.
Well, actually, we met at a tacky Christmas sweater party, actually. That's how we met. We were attending the same church. Actually, Brittany was working for the church at the time, a church called New Spring here in South Carolina. And myself and my brother and some other friends attended the church, and my brother actually, I didn't know Brittany. My brother knew Brittany.
We were in a small group together.
They were in a small group together, and then he invited her to the Christmas party, and we ended up meeting, and we've talked every day.
Well, I almost didn't go because it was a Saturday night during our Christmas services, and I didn't get done until 9, and then had to be back the next day at 5. Oh. And my friend was like, "Let's just go for a few minutes."
Yeah.
And so we went for a few minutes, and if you know him, he is a smart aleck by nature, and he made a smart aleck comment, and I said, "You can't talk to me like that. You don't even know my name." And somehow he actually knew my name.
I did know her name.
Yeah.
But when I went home, I sent him a Facebook friend request, and he accepted, and we exchanged a few messages and then numbers and have talked every day since.
Oh,
I actually knew her name only because I had asked my brother. So I had seen her at the church, and I'm like, I asked my brother, and I was like, who is that? And, you know, and so that's kind of how I knew her name, and she didn't know that I knew her name. So, but
love it.
Love it. So you just, you know, you had to do some scouting. You had to do a little bit of film study and a little prep work there on the side, Brad. It's good.
There's a little prep work involved.
Well done.
It worked out for me. So
it's great. And you guys have two kids, right? Is it Tristan and Asher?
Correct.
That's correct.
And how old are those guys?
6 and 4.
6 and 4. Wonderful.
It's a 24/7 Royal Rumble at our house.
How cute.
It's good.
Now,
wonderful.
Coach, were you already coaching at this point, or were you still in school?
I was coaching when we met.
Hello.
Can you say hello?
Hello.
Hi. Aw,
this is Asher. This is our 4-year-old.
Oh, let's go, Asher. That's good. Wonderful. No, it's all good, man. That's
yeah.
It is East Coast, so we're right around bedtime, right? For the kiddos?
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock here, 8:10 or so.
Okay.
So.
Nice. No, that's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was coaching when I met her, when I met Brittany. So we were I was actually coaching at her former alma mater, and that's kind of, so we ended up knowing some of the same people, and, you know, because of the coaching world and some people who would come out of that program, and so it just kind of, it just happened, you know, so.
Yeah.
Good. That's really good. Cool. So she knew right when she met you what she was getting into with the coaching world, right?
She went to Burns High School, and it was they won 8 out of 10 state championships from 2002 to 2012.
Happy in your class won 4 in a row.
So, outstanding! Yeah,
wow!
Oh my goodness!
So she's it's a big football town, so she kind of understood, you know, what goes into it. And then Brittany's brother was a big time baseball player, and so she spent a lot of time traveling around. He's actually drafted by the Astros, so she spent a lot of time at, you know, different baseball tournaments, and so she kind of knew what the athletic life was like, even though she was more of a pageant girl herself. But she did run track, but she kind of had an understanding of what she was getting herself into.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
We met in December, so the beginning of the next season, two guys that I went to high school with, they coached with him. At least one of them did. We're both on the staff. Bailey Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So he coached with them. Well, somebody asked about us getting married or something, and I mean, this is August. We had just met in December, but their mom looked at the person that asked and looked at me and goes, "She hasn't made it through a football season yet. Ask her in December."
And the whole off season and everything leading up to that, right? The whole deal.
Much different.
That's great. Were you, Brett, were you an assistant or were you a head coach?
I was an assistant at the time, yes.
Okay.
Burns.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So what did you think, though, knowing that he was a football coach? Did you kind of have an idea of, like, what it entailed once you dived into, like, being just, like, started to get more serious and then the football season started coming? Like, did you guys have that talk? Like, hey, this is what it's going to be like. And
I think the first realization was the fact that's the year that I mentioned earlier when we were chit-chatting that we spent a 7-on-7, my birthday at a 7-on-7. And I'm very big about my birthday. Mm-hmm. My boss at the time was like, "You need to let him know. Like, he needs to understand." So, like, the first kind of reality check was when I spent my birthday at the ball field.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was for a 7-on-7. And so that combined with, you know, like he said, my senior class, we won 4 state championships. So I saw how much my friends practiced and were at practice. And I mean, they wouldn't get done. And the coach that he coached for that year was actually my high school football coach.
Oh.
So it was a similar, kind of a similar schedule and stuff. So I knew a little bit, at least, what I was getting into, but I don't think you fully know until
right.
Yep. Yes, yes.
I think when Chris and I, we've said this before on the podcast, but, you know, you he had to have the conversation with me because I had no idea. But it's like an important conversation because if you don't have it, it could be a deal breaker.
Yes, if you don't have realistic expectations,
no,
they're not going to get met at all.
No, no. Oh, that's great.
Go ahead. Yeah. Brittany, let's going through that now. Let's talk about your work with the AFCWA, which is a huge organization. I mean, Brett, you and I know the AFCWA from the football standpoint and how important that is for coaches to connect and get together and learn. But Brittany, sure. Talk to us about the AFCWA, the importance of that pairing with the AFCA and kind of your role in that.
So I don't know if y'all mentioned when we got married. We gotta talk about that. So, little bit of backstory. A little after a year of us dating, he's interviewing for a job in Georgia. He gets the job, and I look at him and I'm like, "Well, I'm not moving without a ring, and I don't do long distance. Ball's in your court, bud." So we got engaged May 9th, got married June 26th, and moved to Georgia, 3 hours away from our family and friends, on June 27th. And for the first, that's mid-June. Football season's basically ramping up, or end of June. Football season's basically ramping up at that point. So my first married football season, I was in a town that I knew no one. I was by myself. My husband was gone. I was very reserved. I didn't reach out to anybody. And I was pretty miserable. And on Facebook, in the next, I think it was the next spring, like in 16, I found this Facebook group called American Football Coaches Lives Association. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is cool. Let me join. Mm-hmm. So I joined. I paid my membership. I found out they had a conference, and that year was in Nashville. So I signed him up for AFCA, and I said, hey, we're going to Nashville in January. and so January of 2017 was our first AFCA and AFCWA convention. But when I walked in the room, I had connected with so many of the wives and women in that room on social media. It didn't feel like I was walking into a room of strangers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And at that point, I knew that this was going to be a game changer for my journey as a coach's wife. And so, that was 17. 19, I think, is when I applied to be on the board. Mm-hmm. And we were out in San Antonio, and I applied, and I was accepted. And so I spent 4 years on the board just serving in any capacity needed. And just because I love the organization so much, I was like, hey, I want to have, a really influential role in this organization. And so I, put my name in the hat for vice president. And the first year I did it, another friend of mine, who's one of my really good friends, was voted on as vice president. I'm like, okay, wasn't my time, wasn't part of my journey. Then in the next year, elections for our executive board rolled around, and I was like, gonna throw my hat in the ring again. And that year I was elected vice president. And so with AFCWA, you spend a year as vice president, which is kind of a training year. And then you roll into your president year. And so as president, you really hold the weight and responsibility of what kind of convention looks like, what the year looks like. And so during my year, I just really wanted to try to connect the dots for other wives and just have a space during the year and at convention where we can connect and have fun. And this past year, we actually got to go out and do a progressive luncheon in Nashville, which we did in Charlotte a few years ago, but isn't something that we normally get to do in Nashville because we're so kind of removed at the Gaylord. And so that was really fun. We got to connect with other wives as well as, experience the city. We got to donate items that the children's hospital needed. We raised money to do an Amazon wish list. And basically we said, pick what you need. And granted, this year they needed like sweats and stuff, for last minute, because a lot of people that come to the hospital there are last minute, like it's emergency, and they show up with very little. So it was just an honor to be able to give back to them. And it's just an organization that I feel like connects lives and builds that bridge for, like we said, if you don't have that conversation, you're sitting there like, what did I get myself into? It's just it's a place to create a safe net of women to talk to and connect and carry each other through this crazy life. Mm-hmm.
Speaking from the husband standpoint, it's been great for Brittany because it gives her a community that she can relate to and vent to, and you know, because it's not easy being a coach's wife. I mean, and I know it's not easy being my wife, you know. So because I'm all ball all the time, you know, and I really have to push and challenge myself to you know, be present sometimes, even, you know, and just having somebody that she can share that experience with without, you know, necessarily having to lash out at me or whatever else is, you know, is has been really, really good for her and for us, I would say, when you said right. Mm-hmm.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good community, good people. And everybody we've talked to has said those very words, Brett. It's just, it's relationships immediately. It's in, you know, places where there's a woman across the table that knows exactly what I'm going through, especially if her wife is a head coach and all the trials, and, but also all the blessings, you know, all the good, bad, and uglies with all of it.
Sure. And there is a lot of good, you know, there's a whole lot
of good. Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of tough times too, you know, and it's a challenge, and I couldn't do what I do without her, you know. Mm-hmm. So without the sacrifices she makes, I couldn't do what I do. Mm-hmm. And that's just, having somebody that she can share that with is big, you know.
Mm-hmm. I always say it's a group that you don't have to preference. I love my husband, but... It's like, people that don't get it, if you go to complain, you're like, I love him, but da 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 da.
Right.
And
right.
With other coaches' lives, I don't have to say that part first because yep. They know that. They get it.
Skip
they
that intro.
I know. I feel you. That's what I love so much about the AFCWA, and it's been such a blessing to meet so many different women and being able to go online and be able just to connect, and you know, you say, just like you said, there's just a place for us to be able to share our hearts, and there's no judgment, but there's also a complete understanding. And I just appreciate it. So you guys have done such a great job. It's been great to just be a part. And so hopefully we will be able to go next year.
Yes.
I had a little bit of FOMO when I saw the progressive dinner. I'm like, what?
This will be our closest drive yet because it's in Charlotte, which is, what, an hour and a half maybe up the road?
Wonderful.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, Brett, let's pivot over to a little football. I mean, congratulations again. Head coach, you kind of worked your way. You've been a position coach, coordinator, head coach, which is exciting. What, you know, in right now we're in the off season. We're kind of, everybody's gearing up for spring ball and getting ready to roll. So just take us through kind of like as a head coach now. It was probably a little bit different than when it was when you were a coordinator and focusing on the offensive side of the ball. Now you're in charge of the whole deal. So what does spring ball, day one spring ball look like for you and your program?
Well, you know, I think for me, it's just we're trying to, you know, especially offensively and defensively as well. Now, you know, as a head coach, but offensively, I try to focus on what is our identity as an offense going to be, you know, and not so much. It's not always X's and O's for me. It's who we are from a culture standpoint. You know, we stress a lot about what effort looks like to us. We want to go ahead and almost brainwash the kids into what we want to look like as far as a tempo. Are we tempo? Or are we not tempo? Or are we going to throw it around? Or are we going to, you know, be heavy run game? You know, so for us, it's trying to focus on what can we be good at, you know, as an offense, and then, you know, how do we identify ourselves as that, you know, and making sure that our kids are bought into that, you know. So and each year that changes just a little bit, you know, but typically we're going to focus on, like I said, what effort looks like to us, what our tempo looks like that year. Are we going to be a you know, breakneck tempo, or are we going to change tempos, or are we going to control the clock? Who are we? You know, is what day one is typically about. So
it's good. Who was your? You got the job at Woodruff. Who was your first phone call to?
Who was my first phone call to?
Besides Brittany. Besides
I
Brittany.
Eventually took the job. Or while he was sitting in the interview where they were talking about it.
Yeah.
No, I actually step out and call my wife and say, hey, they just pushed a contract in front of me. I think I'm going to sign it.
So, let's go.
So that would have been my first call.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I think then we called our parents and we set up, like, we went to dinner.
Told mine when you got there.
We told Brittany's parents. The boys were at Brittany's. They were at Brittany's parents.
Well, and every school district is kind of different how they operate. And here, he talked to the superintendent on Thursday. Well, their school board meeting wasn't until Monday. And so we technically had to wait to tell anybody until after it was school board approved and official. So we were allowed to tell our parents, Then we weren't allowed to tell anybody.
Yep.
But y'all know how this world works. Like, people figure it out. Like, some people I feel like have a list. Okay, these people are interviewing. These people didn't get a second round. These people, and so they know. So we basically, I feel like we went dead silent that weekend. We didn't talk to anyone. We were like, we're just not going to talk to anybody.
We were pretty radio style. Outside of, we told her parents and my parents and a couple of close family members. Just, I'd been a head coach in Georgia at Kell High School in Marietta. And then, we had just moved to the Gwinnett side of Atlanta to get on the northeast side of Atlanta to put us a little bit closer back to family. And then, 6 months, 7 months later, we're coming back home to South Carolina. So it was, we were really just telling our family, hey, we're coming back home right now, So those were the first few phone calls and conversations, and then for me, it was figuring out, okay, after that, who can I hire, things like that. So, and I'd been gone for almost a decade. I'd been gone for 8 years, in Georgia. So, figuring out who's still in it, who's gotten into it, who's in the area that I can possibly hire. People like, are you going to bring guys with you from Georgia? I'm like, I can't afford to, because like teacher pay in Georgia was so different. It's asking people to move here was difficult. So going down the list, that checklist was the next thing. But for sure, the first thing was calling and telling our family that we were coming back home. Was a big part of this move.
Was your family just so excited?
I
cried.
They're way more excited about the grandkids being back home than they really are about us. We can go back to Georgia for all they can, but as long as those two boys are here, they're okay.
So. That's kind of like my mom and dad. They're just, leave the kids, you guys go.
Yeah, y'all can go back to Georgia. Just leave Tristan and Asher here, and they're okay.
So how far away are you from family right now? Are you pretty close, or?
My parents' house is 13 miles from our house now.
Okay.
Granted, we lived with them for 11 months. But yeah, my parents are 13 miles.
Mine are about 35 miles. It's about 35 miles from my parents' house. But my parents live on the very northwest side of the county. We live on the very southeast side of Spartanburg County. So, but it's, it's a 30-minute drive to anybody, just about all our family. So.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Sure. No, we get it.
It's good.
Yeah.
No, it's great. in South Carolina, because different from California rules, what are you allowed to do? Or I guess, when are you allowed to start, Brett? When does spring ball officially go?
Well, we actually start practice tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, so we've got an open period in March now where we can go out with just helmets on. So we'll go out with anywhere from 30 to 40 kids from 7th to 11th, or rising seniors, tomorrow. Just anybody who's not in a spring sport will get started with some things, and really we'll focus, big focus on fundamentals. We may install some base stuff, some formations, our base formations, install our base run game and our base pass game, just things that our returning guys should know day one when they get back, so we may install that, some of those things. We'll practice 3 days a week right now. We don't go overboard with it just because it's March 4th, we don't have all our guys. I don't have all my coaches. Some of my coaches are coaching spring sports, we try to get some work done without overloading them, and then we'll be off for the month of April, and then we'll kick back up May 1st. We have to do 3 acclimation days and, in just helmets, and then we can put pads on You technically can practice every day in May, but you can only put pads on for 10. You know,
okay.
So we'll do three acclimation practices, and then we'll move into padded practices, and we'll play a little pseudo spring game against ourselves.
Yeah, no, that's great. Okay. So the acclimation piece is already done, right?
Bond, you know, things like that. So, but
no, that's good. That's good. The acclimation part, though, you're starting that kind of right now. They still have you do three right before you put the pads on.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they do the same in the fall as well. You have to do 3 days of acclimation.
So. We all can't do pads in March, right?
We can't. No, we can't do shoulder pads. Just helmets in March. You can't do anything but helmets in March.
Okay.
And honestly, the first week or so, we probably won't even put helmets on. We'll just probably go out. Mm-hmm. We'll start issuing helmets and things like that, you know, in lockers, so that it just one less thing I've got to do in May, right? You know,
right.
So we just go ahead. We'll go ahead and do that, you know. But we may or may not put helmets on until week two or three of March, you know. And we just basically, can you line up and can you get to the right spot, you know? And then, you know, hopefully when we get our track guys and our baseball guys and stuff like that back in May, you know, most of the stuff, like I said, that we'll address here in March, they should already know. It should be a quick, you know, just brush up on some things and we'll get going. And we have an athletic class 7th period, so I've got some players in that too. It's a new thing. So our kids have a weight training. At some point during the day, we have a strength coach who trains all sports. Every athlete in our school pretty much lifts.
That's great.
Female, male, and so that they have that period with him, and I teach a couple of those classes as well. But then they have 7th period athletic class, and they go to whatever sport is in season or whatever's coming up next, you know.
Okay.
And we do. I mean, we're a school of 802 students right now, so we share a lot of athletes. So we in March, I'll get the athletic class. I'll get the basketball guys 3 days a week, and he'll get them 2 days a week. And then as we move into April, I'll get them 4, and he'll get them 1. And then in May, I get them every day, you know. And then we kind of work it out to figure out how it best suits our kids. And it's, you know, there's always some anytime you're sharing kids, there's going to be some issues, you know. But we seem to work through them pretty well, you know. And we just try to talk about it and figure it out. And at the end of the day, I think we've got a lot of coaches who take pride in doing right by kids, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we might not always see perfect eye to eye, but we find a way to make it work for them, you know. And that's
good.
What it's about. So
that's good, especially if you're sharing athletes. If you got a bunch of coaches who get it and understand that and will work with you on that, and that's going to be invaluable, I should say. You know, they're helping you, you know, as you get off the ground and get going at Woodruff. You know, if you got a bunch of coaches that are just trying to pull and take and not share, that can make your job more difficult.
Our guys do a great job of that. All of our sport coaches do a really, really good job of, you know, we're in a special place right now where they want everything to be successful, you know, and that's
good.
That's a hard thing to balance, but, you know, I think, you know, the people in our building are doing a great job of it right now. So.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to coming back from Georgia, going back to South Carolina. So, I mean, you guys have, and Brett, you've moved a few times, a few different high schools in Georgia. How many times have you guys moved as a couple since you've been together?
6.
Wow. I calculated it out the other day.
We've moved 6 times in 8 years.
6 times in 8 years.
6 times. Now, all of those weren't for school changes. They were, our family was getting bigger. And we you know, when we moved to Georgia, it was just Brittany and I, so we had a little town home, you know, that we really liked, but, you know, then we had a, and we liked the location and everything. But then when Tristan came along, we needed more room.
And you got the kill job. We had our gender reveal party on Saturday, and his second round interview for the kill job was on Sunday.
Yeah.
So that was kind of twofold, to be closer to Kale, because we were on, I mean, we were, what, 30, 40 minutes of the townhouse from Kale?
30 minutes.
And so we needed more space. And then when we were at Kale, we were renting. So then we bought a house.
Yeah, and then we bought a bigger house.
Yeah, because we thought, oh, we're going to be here a while, and maybe our family and friends will come spend some time, more time with us if they have, like, an in-law suite.
Yeah, we bought a house with an in-law suite.
Oh, know, yeah.
Like, you know, like, yeah, the whole time we were there, it was like, wow. but our parents, they hated, in their defense, like, where we were on that side of Atlanta, there was no good way to get to us, because it's just...
You had to go through Atlanta traffic.
You had to go through Atlanta traffic to get to us, and it was just... My dad despises traffic and anything that's, you know... But I'm from a community, they still don't have a red light, you know, so...
Yeah, there we go.
You know, my dad's not... 285 in Atlanta is not his cup of tea, you know, okay. So it's... that's kind of what happened. And then,
what, 7-8 months after we bought the house?
Yeah, I think we bought that house. We lived in that house for a year.
Wow. Okay.
Bought the house in April, and then mid-November we were let go. Mm-hmm. And so then he got the coordinator job at Collins Hill. So we sold that house in June. We were homeless for like for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then we bought a house
in Brasselton, which is on the northeast side of Atlanta. That put us closer to the Greenville-Spartanburg area, yeah, where our parents are. Okay. And then we were there for 7 months.
We bought the house end of June, beginning of July. It was like
in July.
And then
I got the Woodruff job in February.
February
the next year, so
and
6 months.
We were in the house in March.
Oh my God.
And then we lived with my parents for 11 months. So it's like, if you count that or not, because that would technically be move six, and then we built a house.
Okay.
Wow. That's technically move seven.
That's seven. Yeah. You're moving. You're taking boxes and putting them in another house. That's moving. Wow, yeah, guys.
So we moved into the house we're in now 6, almost 7 weeks ago. Okay. June 16th.
Really?
Okay.
January 16th. Sorry.
Started
with a J.
Yeah. They're all blended. Yeah. Man. Pearl, I mean, you guys have been through so much.
U-Haul knows us well.
Huh?
The U-Haul company, they know us very well.
Yeah. You got to buy five, get one free here coming, I think, sometime soon. Or rent one, get one free.
That's hard.
Yeah. We need stock in U-Haul.
Yeah. Wow. Well, talk about that. You're not the only ones. I know, yeah, you know that. You're not alone in that. But what are some things, maybe there's some life lessons for the coaches' wives, the coaches, you know, when you're getting ready and prepping and you got family and you got kids. I mean, how'd you guys handle that? What was your process?
Stop buying stuff. You have enough stuff, right? Okay, like, whatever. Stop buying stuff. Because somehow we lived with Brittany's parents for 11 months, and we had more stuff when we left than what we did.
We backed the U-Haul up to load up the night before we were closing our house, and my dad looked at me, he goes, I don't remember a U-Haul coming here.
Yeah, we brought our stuff in our cars, and we left in a U-Haul.
Wow.
There were so many things that we had in storage that it was easier to go buy something new than have to try to dig it out of storage somewhere, mm-hmm, you know, so it's sure, you end up even more stuff. And
sure,
it was so definitely you have enough stuff, quit buying stuff. That would be my my first. But I mean I don't know.
That's is this good. Tristan?
Hi, Tristan.
Hi, Tristan.
It's good. Love it.
So cute.
But from a family standpoint, I mean, I don't know. Our boys have been young enough that they weren't quite in school. You know, it wasn't as big of a deal to move them around. I think we're a little bit more conscientious about it now. But, you know, we just try to.
So Tristan's just in kindergarten. And so last year when he was interviewing for the Woodruff job and it looked like potential, one of my questions, because he was in 4K, was like, okay, well, what does it look like? Can we transfer him into a 4K Bayer? So I think every family's different, and you kind of have to have that conversation amongst yourself, because I know some of my best friends, he'll go, and they'll follow, 3-4 months later when school finishes, mm-hmm, or You know, one of my best friends, they've normally did that. And this year, they just moved about 2 weeks ago, and it was the first time that they all moved together. Mm-hmm. And their kids are older. I think one's middle school, one's late elementary school, and then they have a 4 or 5 year old. And so I think it's different with every family. And like he said, our boys have been young enough that normally we go. Mm-hmm. I think when he got the Collins Hill job, he drove back and forth mm-hmm. during spring practice. He would spend the night with the head coach a couple times. But we're one that try to go as a family unit as much as we can.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we went ahead and enrolled. Our whole thought process with Tristan was go ahead and put him in 4K so that we wanted him to go ahead and make friends in the spring so that when he came back to school in the fall and kindergarten, he already knew somebody. You know, it wasn't because we were able to get him in school, and then we were able to, you know, he played Little League baseball here and things like that. So he was already, by the time he started his first day of school in kindergarten, he already knew somebody. So he wasn't.
Oh, that's great.
But I think they're kind of used to being the new kids because they like, you know, they just, you know, they're used to, hey, we get to go meet new friends. And then, I mean,
they kind of roll with punches. Yeah. I mean, they're both football season babies, and we're both at the field at a week old. So they just.
Both of them were at a game at 7 days old. So it just. Asher, Tristan came a week to the day that I coached my first game as a head coach. I was headed to practice, and when Brittany went into labor, and I had to
turn
around. Oh my gosh! It was the chain blade drop thing. I was like, "What are you doing? Get pregnant, mom!"
just playing the top ranked could say team at Georgia the next week. You know, no big deal.
No, so, not at all.
As first time head coach, you know, we lost in overtime. And then, you know, Asher came on a bye week. So
it was a Friday. Yeah. It was our bye week.
Yes. Asher knew. Yeah.
Asher knew. He sensed it.
They're coaches' kids, huh?
Oh, wow. Really, Brittany, can you just kind of talk to me about community and just when you are the new people in town, how is that? How do you connect with others, kind of diving into a new neighborhood, new school district and all that? Like, if just there's any thoughts or any, tidbits you can kind of just share. Because I think that's always something that I'm really concerned about. And we've only moved once, Adam. We're married going to be 25 years this year. And we've only moved once, praise the Lord. But when we did move this last time up here in Central Valley, you know, I was nervous. I was even just nervous for myself. And I don't know, I'm a pretty friendly person. I mean, we got a podcast and all, right? I love meeting new people. But, you know, communities were different. And they just, you know, when I had my village down in Southern California. And so, you know, I just different way of life. And then you come up here and it's just a whole different group of people. So just if you can share moving 6 times from neighborhood to neighborhood, if there's any thoughts or anything that you can share to encourage maybe a new coach's wife and a new mom, like how they can just kind of slide in and to a community and feel more comfortable.
And I think, you know, the times we've moved, it's been a little different every time because the communities have been different. Coming to Woodruff, you know, in the last year, Woodruff is so small and tight knit that it's kind of one you just got to jump in feet first and hope you swim. And so, you know, we kind of just started showing up at small businesses and, you know, serving the community, like with our dollar, because that's how we get connected in the community. We would come, you know, go to restaurants, even though we were living at my parents', which was 20, 25 minutes away. We would try to do life in Woodruff because, you know, Woodruff's so small. Like, there's actually another girl that looks very similar to me that's been in Woodruff her entire life, to the point, like, looks so similar. She came on the news when Tristan was in 4K, came on the news, and Tristan went, "Mommy?" And his teacher was like, "No, that's not your mommy." And so being in the community, like, people recognize us. And so they would even ask her, they're like, "Are you the new ball coach's wife?" And she's like, "No, that's not me." But, you know, being that presence gets you seen, gets you known, gets you connected in your community. We go to football events, parents meetings, you know, potlucks. We show up at practice to get to know the players. I'm a coach's wife that gets to know parents. I know it doesn't fit for everybody. And you always have, you know, some tough experiences with parents. We're new to the baseball parent life, you know. Tristan will play football in the fall, but, you know, as a parent, like, you're protective of your kids, so there just has to be some boundaries, but I'm one that gets to know parents, just making that connection. You know, when we moved to Kell, it was just showing up at practices. I got to know some of the booster club and some of the moms, and they actually, you know, ended up throwing me a baby shower that summer from the Touchdown Club. And it's just about putting yourself out there and taking that step and showing your commitment to the community, especially if you're in a small town. And if you're not in a small town, just finding people that are dedicated to the football program, because at the end, you kind of all have the best interests of the football program, you know, and that can be your common denominator. And then as far as kids, getting them involved, when we found out, you know, that we were moving to Woodruff, baseball tryouts were technically, like, registration was closed, but I took a shot and I emailed and I was like, hey, we're new, this is our situation, we're moving there basically in 2 weeks, is there any way I can get my kids on a team? And then I heard back instantly and they were like, sure, I'm opening the sign up, you know, fill out the application, let me know when you're done. And so, like he said, they, you know, played 6U and T-ball last year, so they're immediately able to get connected. And from that, Tristan ended up making the All-Star team, so we got connections from that. And then that fed over into people we played soccer with in the spring.
Oh, that's great.
And so it's just about, you know, showing up at events, getting involved. We do, I mean, pretty much any time, like, the primary school has an event, we go. Last night we went to kids karaoke at a restaurant in downtown Woodruff.
The church is big for us too. Yeah. Getting involved in, you know.
Yes.
We quickly found a church home here.
I had a list of churches we were going to try in Woodruff, and we showed up at the first one and never left.
That's good.
That's good.
That's good.
The trial and error was not a part of that project. we fell in love with the church that we're at, and we love it, and it's, you know.
And our church is very, very big supportive of Woodruff Athletics. Our church is technically a multi-site church. We have three locations. Our campus pastor is on our sideline, and our lead pastor was in our box.
There we go.
That's awesome.
He was a GA at Auburn, and so he knows a little bit of football. So he helps us in the box and prays for us and all kind of good stuff.
Wonderful.
That's neat to have that spiritual support behind you too. That's always good to have that.
And I don't know if I'd recommend this or not, but I went a little redneck at the first game, and ever since then, all of her fans loved me. They're like, "Oh, she fights for our
game." Was that the T-ball game, Brittany?
No, it was actually our first football game.
Football.
A kid on the other team threw a punch, and he didn't get ejected. Oh. And I was not happy about
it. I actually took a timeout to, you know, give the official piece of my mind. Brittany and Ashley were all cheering for her. They were actually cheering for me.
What did he say? And then actually one of our guys that does, like, our video, I worked with him before we moved. And apparently when I started yelling, his brother was up there with him. And his brother was like, "Who is that?" And Jay's going, "It's Brittany. Oh, it's about to get good." He's probably Reba on Friday night now.
Yes.
Friday night.
Yes, Friday night fights in the Friday Night Lights. Let's go.
Oh, my goodness.
That's awesome. That's great.
Oh, that
we are we're doing a theme this season called Overcoming Adversity. And so just speak a little bit about that, guys. Obviously, you've gone through it. And Brett, you know, you've gone through it in the coaching. Brittany, you guys have gone through some adversity just with your moving and all that stuff like that. But, you know, just kind of what does that mean to you, overcoming adversity? How do you do it? And what's one of the times that you really had to fight to overcome some of that stuff?
Well, I mean, I think for us it's faith-based. You know, I think, you know, we're both believers in Jesus Christ and God, and we think our God goes before us, you know, and if anything that happens to us is, you know, it's only because he allows it to happen to us, and there's something, you know, that he wants us to learn from that situation, or it's because he has something better for us, or, you know, or it's just not where he has us, it's not where our purpose is, and, you know, and we, I think we try to fall back on that, you know. I think it was really hard at Kale when we got, you know, when they decided to go in a different direction, mm-hmm. you know, that's how it's all, that's the phrase, right, you know.
Yes.
I mean, that was hard, but, you know, we shed some tears, and, you know, because there's that uncertainty about the situation and what are you going to do next, and, you know, obviously that's human nature to have some anxiety over it, you know, and we did, but at the same time, you know, I felt like, you know, we got, after a little while, after that brief period of mourning, there was some excitement about what's next and things like that, and we try to base it on our faith and you know, that God has a plan for us, whatever that might look like, and then he'll put us wherever he wants us to be, and, you know, that all we can do is do the best with that situation and when he gives it to us, you know, and that's kind of how we try to handle it and try to mm-hmm. look at it. I'll say this, you know, when we got, you know, let go at Kale, there were some blessings in that too. You know, I found myself I told someone not long ago, I found myself at home jumping on the trampoline with my boys, and, you know, I was in the best shape I'd been. You know, there was about a 3 or 4 month period there where I was working out every day because, you know what, I had time to. And, you know, there was, you know, and like I said, I found myself laughing and playing with my boys more and some things because there was time to do that, and my mind wasn't weighed down by you know, serving everybody else for mm-hmm. a minute, you know. And, you know, I learned some things in that, and, you know, I think Brittany would say she did too, and mm-hmm. You know, you just keep going.
You know?
So
yeah.
Keep
going.
Ball, you know, so.
Do you have a verse, life verse, or a family verse that you guys hang your hat on?
My kind of life verse is Jeremiah 29:11.
Okay.
Don't touch
anything. Oh, yeah.
I kind of feel what he was saying.
Yeah, that's kind of our big one, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, I know the plans that I had for you, you know, plans to prosper you and harm you. You know, so that's a big one. You know, I try to hang my hat on Proverbs 27:17 as well. You know, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's a big one for us. You know, I read Isaiah 43 a lot. That's probably one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. So all of those are kind of things we try to hang our hat on. So.
Yeah.
And I think as a wife, especially, you know, in this life, most of the time we talk about overcoming adversity, it's normally a bad season, a time you were let go. And I think, you know, looking back in that time, that's when my tribe came in handy. Because I shared this the other day, and somebody asked me for advice. In that situation, you know, I feel like from me looking at him, you know, his confidence, his next step was kind of the most important. So I wanted to be strong for him. I wanted to always bring positivity to him. But in that instance, I was mad. I was hurt. I was upset. But I tried almost to shield him from most of that. So I was propping him up. Mm-hmm. And in turn, my tribe saw that side and was able to prop me up in order to prop him up.
Yeah.
Because in those situations, if you're both like upset and hurt and that's what you're talking about, that's what's going to fester and that's mm-hmm. what you're going to see the product of.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I tried to be like his safe space, you know, to express his feelings, and I tried to be the positive one, and, you know.
But honestly, I don't think we talked about it a whole lot after about the first year. We really kind of talked about.
I mean, I think it was more of.
What's next?
What's
you know,
next?
You know,
and
really.
Keeping the faith of what was next. And,
sure.
Because, I mean, in this profession, you know, there's two types of coaches. Those have been fired and those are going to be fired, you know. So you just,
yeah.
I mean, you know, and some of my mentors told me that. Like, one of them told me, like, look, Florida State fired Bobby Bowden. You know, like, I mean,
well, and it's not only just in the fire, but like the interview, the no's, you're great, but we're gonna go a different direction. Mm-hmm. Like, because I think that was a hard period too after the initial let go of then going back and like being in an interview season and a job hunting season that you weren't expecting.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's hard when it's harder to find a job when you don't have one than it is when you already got one, because people are, you know, whether they say it or not, they're biased to, okay, well, why did this guy, you know, he brings in all this, and this, he never missed playoffs, this, and this, you know, and why did they fire him, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so they're always that. So you're fighting that battle, and, you know.
And then you always have different people. Like, some people sitting in that room have been on that side and know that, like, it's probably he did nothing wrong. But then some people aren't necessarily even athletic minded sometimes with principles and stuff, and so they're just like, oh well, what happened?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, figuring all that out, and, you know, that I think that was the harder part once you got over the initial shock of, hey, you know, like we got to find something we're gonna do, you know. And that's so, but. But yeah, so.
I mean, that started kind of our journey to being back in the same county our family is.
And so. And isn't that interesting? You know, you guys would have stayed there at Kale had that not happened. You know, that was just the Lord's way. And you didn't do anything wrong, Brett. I don't know the details, the story, but I'm sure you were upright, you know, integrity intact. Like, nothing that you did caused that to happen, I'm sure. But God had you at Woodruff. That was the plan. And so, knowing that, you probably would have never left, you would have been happy there. He had to get you to move somehow. And that, you know, he uses those tests. He uses those things that come in our lives. And so Jeremiah 29:11, man, that's a beautiful passage for you guys, because that wasn't the stop. You know, that wasn't the end all. You had to be at Woodruff. You had to come back home. Mm-hmm. And he has, you know, he uses those moments in our life that hurt and go through that pain, but he's got something brighter and better for you on the back end of it. So what a blessed testimony, man. It's good.
There's no doubt. And we, you know, we're blessed where we're at, and, you know, we'll, as long as God wants us here, that's where we'll be. And then I'm, you know, I hate to say it even this, but rarely you're, you know,
Nowadays,
who knows how long we'll be here either. You know, that's just the coaching world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say, you know, we don't want to be here for a long time. That's not, but it's just the reality of it, you know.
Administration changes, mm-hmm. people change.
You know, mm-hmm. and they want people in certain positions, and that's just part of it, you know. Mm-hmm. And sure. But it's okay. It's okay. It's still a beautiful profession, and it's a beautiful life, and it's
calling.
It's a calling.
It's a ministry. Mm-hmm. It's in His hands, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
We just go wherever He puts us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And doesn't it make us also, too, it challenges us to really be in the present, because you don't know, you know, how many seasons you're going to have with these athletes. So it's like every day, it's like pouring into them, you know, you're pouring into coach, spending time with them. Not only is it the physical, but it's the spiritual attributes that you're trying to just build character. So it makes you just present and grateful for every day you have with them, because like you said, you know, we don't know how much time and where God's going to take us next. So, yeah.
We're praying for this stop. If this is home sweet home and you guys are so close to your family, there's a reason.
I know.
And we're praying. We're going to pray that this is a good long tenure, Coach, and for both of you.
Yeah.
It's good.
We appreciate
that. We would enjoy that. We really like this house, you know.
Yeah.
I really like green and porch only, you know.
Just don't buy any more stuff. You're not going to buy any more stuff. Yeah.
Well, when we pulled out of storage, I was like, where'd this come from? That got rid of a whole lot of more stuff.
Oh, guilty. I'm so guilty of that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this was a wonderful conversation. We're going to wrap up just because we want to be respectful of your time, but I just have a few like fun questions that we just want to ask you that I like to ask all our guests. So these are called getting to know you questions. So on a free night, What would we find the Sloan family doing on an off night, which I know it's very rare, but when you do have an off night Saturday free, what are you guys doing?
Watching Netflix.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll grill.
I love to grill. I've got a big green egg, and I like to grill. But you know, we're probably gonna stay home and be in bed by 9 because we have a 6 and 4 year old who are
that likes to get up.
They're walking death and destruction. So we have, you know, anytime we can lay down, we lay down. So
nice,
good. But
our Valentine's Day that Thursday night, we did it big and went and saw Lee Bryce Peace Center. Yeah.
Nice.
Very nice.
It was an acoustic tour.
Yeah. Yes.
Really. Ooh, nice. Good. So a little concert. Awesome. Like
that. We were still a surprise.
Yeah, we were still home by 10:30.
Okay, so post game ritual. What is like a post game ritual that you guys have as a family?
I feel like we always meet on the field. I think there's only been one game that he didn't come meet us.
What was that?
Rome. We lost by a field goal.
Oh, yeah. We were
all emotional. I'm just really thankful I didn't go into labor.
That was a tough one.
That was.
That was the only one I think I had never seen. That's probably the only game I never saw. I failed to go see Brittany and the boys after the game because
it was just one at that point.
Regardless, you know, we missed a field goal with no time on the clock, 37-yard field goal to beat Rome at Rome, and they're pretty good, you know. Mm-hmm.
They're a powerhouse in Georgia.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It would have been a huge win. And we actually missed 3 field goals inside of 37 yards that night, and we lost by 1. You know, so that one was tough. And you know, I was so preoccupied with what I say to everybody, you know, and things like that. But usually we just chase the boys around the field. To be honest, you want to know what the ritual is? It's probably Tristan tackling me and Ashley jumping on top of me.
Love it.
Oh, that's the best.
Love it.
Awesome.
But, you know, so
it's good.
Okay, so number 3, if the Sloans had a chance to watch or have a movie night, what would they choose to watch?
Well, we just watched Moana.
Yeah, we just watched Moana.
Does that count? Yeah, that counts.
We really watch a lot of movies. We'll watch Netflix shows.
Yeah, we don't watch a lot of movies. We watch some series. Like, we're Halo. We're watching Halo on Paramount.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
We watched The Witcher.
Witcher.
Let's see. What else do we watch?
I can't remember what
we watched. I watched The Walking Dead. She won't watch it.
I don't know why. I just can't make that leap. It took me a while to even like watch Game of Thrones, and then I think only because I watched Game of Thrones is I was like good to watch The Witcher because it's similar.
Yellowstone.
Yeah, we're big Yellowstone.
Oh yeah. Fans.
Like,
yeah.
We love like all everything Yellowstone. Stranger Things.
So
mostly series. We don't watch a whole bunch of movies. Like, Brittany's never even seen Rocky. Like, I'm so un-American, I can't believe it. But
we did like Marvels. We watched all the Marvel movies, and then we did Star Wars.
All the Marvels movies we have watched.
We do too.
Yeah, we're
kids love it. Yeah.
We
watched Star Wars.
Oh yeah.
We never seen Star Wars either until we got married. So
outstanding.
I don't know.
We always throw those on when we're sick. Like if we're sick or something, which is interesting, but we've been kind of sick frequently, like just the last year or so. And so like if we're sick, we'll throw on Marvel and try to watch them in sequence, and then, you know, just because.
But now, like, if we see them, like, playing, we'll throw it on because the boys are getting into it.
Yeah. And thankfully, they're pretty good, you know, family-friendly movies that you could throw them on and not have to worry, so it's been nice.
Yeah.
Okay, last question. So, Brittany, this is for you. So if coach calls you in the morning and says, hey, I need you to make dinner for a bunch of football players tonight, what would be your go-to meal?
First of all, I don't call her in the morning, okay? Nobody calls her in the morning.
You just don't even want to talk to me in the mornings.
Okay, so we're overcoming adversity. Hold on. Let's go back. Let's overcome.
No. No, that's called avoiding adversity.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's no brilliant. One calls her in the morning. Not even her fault.
Don't text me, but call me when you're up and active. But the first thing that popped into my head was Dorito chicken. I feel like I've made that the most for players.
Chicken and dumplings.
Okay.
I made that for players. I made that for us.
You did too.
Not a group.
Not a big group.
Dorito chicken, because I can make multiple casserole dishes of that. I made that for linemen, for quarterbacks.
Nice. Ooh, that sounds good.
Love that.
It is.
Send me the recipe. Would you mind if I post it on the blog?
I'll definitely send it.
It actually is pretty good.
Oof.
All the players have always liked it.
Really? Okay.
That sounds real good.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
How about desserts? Do you have a go-to dessert for the boys?
I don't really ever make desserts. I normally buy them.
Yeah.
Buy them with cookie cake. Cookies. Yeah, I don't
think I've
ever made a dessert.
That's good. Well, I'll have her trade her peanut butter lush dessert for your Dorito chicken.
There we go.
And we'll have the dinner and dessert combo, and we'll bring it. Yeah. It'll be good.
It's great. And you know why I like it? Because you don't have to bake it, so it's like my summer go-to dessert. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't touch the kitchen.
You're the cue. You're the grill.
I go to the grill.
Yeah.
Awesome. Sloan's. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time, Coach. I know you're getting ready to turn it up tomorrow, so we couldn't be more thankful that you guys would take some time out of your night on a Sunday to be with us. And we are. We're praying. We're praying for a great season, Coach, and for the kids, Brittany, for you, and all the endeavors coming up. And we're very grateful that you guys took some time out to be with us tonight.
Well, we really enjoyed it. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Hope we see y'all in Charlotte in next January.
I hope so, yes. Too.
Thank you for tuning in to the Friday Night Life podcast. We hope you enjoyed the episode. If you like what you heard and would like to listen to more, please subscribe to our podcast and help broaden our audience, which will help our ministry reach more people.
Also, go check out our website at www.thefridaynightlife.com to see more content about our wonderful guests. And we have a Spirit Pack shop. Get your Friday Night Life merch.
And social media platforms? Yep, we got them. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook by searching The Friday Night Life and Twitter, The FNL Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in and keep on living that Friday Night Life.